Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. I'm anxious to know what the greater things are. Nathanael was promised by God, the Son, the prophet of God. He makes this extraordinary prophecy, doesn't he? Hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ calls his people in particular and individual and very personal ways, don't they? And Nathanael's call is in many ways typical of the Lord's call of people, and in some other remarkable ways is unique. And so it is with all of us. Verse 47, he's called an Israelite indeed because he's declared so by God. God actually names his people and declares what they are. He creates a reality by his word. He says there's no guile in him. It's a remarkable statement, isn't it? But Nathanael is one who's heard a report of God's witnesses. And he's one who hears that report, and this Philip has described the Messiah as written in the scriptures, the prophets. And Nathanael is one who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Despite his concerns, despite his reservations, as it were, he comes and he sees. He's one in verse 48. Upon whom the Lord's eyes have never left. Isn't it remarkable to think that God has his eye upon you in every tiny little episode of your life from the moment of your conception? His eye was upon us in all of the vagaries of our lives. He was always there. He's always there. He's one who privately and personally seeks the Lord and is seen with those omniscient eyes of God. The fig trees were famous in Israel as being places of prayer, places where you went quietly and privately to talk to God about the things of God. Now, in this day of Nathanael's day, of course, there was much stirring in Israel. John the Baptist was famous, and all Judea went out to see him. And maybe Nathanael was baptized by John the Baptist, as were those others who heard John's report and followed the Lord Jesus. But the whole story of the Messiah coming, the whole story of God now speaking to men after 400 years of darkness and silence, was a remarkable event. And for anyone who had any religious notions whatsoever, they were there. The Pharisees were drawn from Jerusalem to see him, so no doubt Nathanael and others were drawn from not so far away. Obviously, we have a veil cast over Nathanael's dealings with the Lord that day under the fig tree. But no doubt, there was something remarkable and significant at that time in Nathanael's life. Because when the Lord says, he says, verse 48, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And I love Nathanael's response. And when people meet with the Lord Jesus Christ in his saving love to them, they have completely transformed views of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have views which a true Israelite will always have of God. You see, in verse 45, the Lord Jesus is the son of Joseph, and Nathanael now says he's the son of God. He's Jesus of Nazareth, and can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now he's the king of Israel. He's rabbi, he is master. come and see. See, faith is what we say, isn't it? It's our declaration of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But in these verses that I want us to spend a little time looking at this morning, in verses 50 and 51, Nathanael now sees and receives these remarkable promises from God, the prophet who speaks. He says, "Because I saw thee, said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto them, "So we are left in no doubt about what the greater things are. Hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And I want us to be reminded again and again that this is a journey to a wedding. Nathanael is being taken to a wedding. So Nathanael's journey is a journey to faith, a journey to the very presence of God. And this is the first time in this gospel account. Obviously, there were miraculous and mighty things that John the Baptist saw and heard, and there's no evidence that many other people saw them. It may have just been for John privately. But in this particular instance here, in the Lord's dealing with Nathanael, it's the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ declares himself to be God. He declares his omniscience. "I saw thee. I saw into your heart and say you're an Israelite with no guile." And he declares his omnipresence. It's the first time that the Lord actually declares, he's declaring himself to be God. God being God. I love the notions of God being God. God revealing himself as God. We can never have too high a view of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can never have too low a view of man. But here before Nathanael, he declares, he's on the omniscient one. "I know all things because I make all things happen, and I'm omnipresent. I am here and I'm directing all of these things." Greater things you're going to see. I've declared that I'm omniscient. I've declared that I'm omnipresent, and you're going to see greater things than that, Nathanael. Nathanael was going to, like so many others, see remarkable miracles. The very next day, he's going to see the Lord Jesus Christ turn water into wine. He will see the Lord Jesus Christ perform the most remarkable miracles, feeding 5,000, raising the dead, healing the lepers, healing people when he's not even present, just with the word of his power. Raising Lazarus from the dead, remarkable, but greater things. See, miracles have never, ever caused belief. Countless multitudes saw the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And people who are chasing after miracles and chasing after signs and wonders are bound to be deceived. See, the greatest display, the greater things that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, is the greatest display of the glory of God in all its radiance in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what all of the scriptures were talking about. It's what that ladder was there for, wasn't it? That God came down to take the Jacobs of this world back to heaven. But he can't take the Jacobs of this world back to heaven until he's completely purified them and cleansed them all sin. And he must be both the just one, the just God, and the justifier of all those who believe in him. What funny notions we have of greatness. We just come to the end of the Olympic Games and we talk about great people, don't we? Great things. But our God's estimation of things and what is good and what is great and what is glorious is so very, very different from ours. We think the greatest man is the one that sits on top of a pile, whether it's a religious pile or whatever else it is, don't we? The Lord says, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Greatness in the church is in serving, not in ruling and reigning as men see it. whatever what is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. The greatest treasure, we think, and all man does to some extent in our flesh, we all think that we're going to have treasures here and we want to secure our future here, isn't it? And how few treasure their eternal soul. How few people we meet who see that their eternal soul is their treasure. How few treasure the truth. The Lord says, buy the truth and sell it not. But these days, where lies and lies abound, people are so swimming in lies that they have no notion of what is truth. And sadly, in the hearts of many people, and especially the religious people, no great desire to go after it. Nathanael heard a report, and he went, and he came, and he saw. You see, the Lord's work of grace in the lives of his people causes them to be active, to search out the truth. They want to know. I want to know what's true. I want to know who God is, and I want to know how he saves sinners, and I want to know what his truth is from his word. And I've often told you that, you know, one of the things that the Lord did in sending me to India was to cause me to have night after sleepless night there, fearing the curse of those people who lead the little ones astray, when I was in charge of sometimes hundreds of little ones in teaching them the scriptures. And I used to plead with God, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I just want to know what the truth is. I just want to know the truth. And I don't care what I lose to know the truth, because whatever I lose is just a dross that I might have the gold. Treasure. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How precious is the truth of God? What an extraordinary thing for God to reveal himself to the likes of us in the glory of his eternal covenant love. What an extraordinary gift it is for us to know what happened on the cross. You would think, you go to the religious world and you think that the one thing that they would have clarity about is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they want to, in the highest schools of this world and throughout the Bible, they want to say it's a nuanced thing. There's a nuanced activity. Nuance means to cloud. I'd like the clouds to be away from it. I'd like it to be shining as clear as I possibly can. I want to know what the truth of God is about that extraordinary event when the Lord Jesus Christ bore the infinite wrath of a holy and just and righteous God because my sins were there. All, every single last one of them. And God can say to every one of his children because of the work of the cross, there is an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Because all of the deceit and all of the corruption that I earned by my fall in Adam and my activities in this world are taken away because they're all laid on the Lord Jesus Christ and they're not there anymore. They're gone. I want to know about that. I want to know whether that's what God says. And he does, over and over and over again. See, what can you give in exchange for your soul? And what's the greatest blessing? What's the greatest blessing in this world? This is eternal life, says the Lord Jesus Christ as he prayed at the end of his earthly ministry. This is eternal life, that you know the Father and you know Jesus Christ whom he has sent. You know him. Greater things, Nathanael, you'll see in this next 3 years, Nathanael, you'll see the most remarkable things that any human being has ever seen on this earth. But the greatest thing you will ever see is going to be that you will see God in all of his character. And Nathanael, you're going to see a remarkable thing, because you'll actually see yourself at the beginning of your walk with me. I'm going to declare you as a man who has no guile. At the end of my earthly ministry, you'll join those other 11 apostles and say, I'm going to die with you. I'll be there with you. I'll be there with you. And Nathanael, in that dark night, came to realise what he was and how much he needed a saviour in ways that he probably never ever realised before, as he ran and hid and locked the doors behind him and left the Lord Jesus Christ to himself and to his captors. greater things when God reveals himself, to see who God is, to see the very heart of God, to be taken from having notions of who God is to actually really knowing him. The Jews had the most remarkable notions of God, and a bunch of it was true. You go to the scriptures with Gamaliel and Nicodemus and all of these others, and you'd be astounded at their knowledge of the sovereignty of God and the holiness of God, and you'd be astounded at their knowledge of God's activities throughout history. And yet when the very God of gods was standing there before them being declared as who he was, they didn't have a clue who he was. So they weren't atheists and they weren't agnostics, those people. So there is a great treasure, is knowing God and seeing God and knowing him and being in relationship with him. Knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're secure, hearing the Lord say to you, there is now no condemnation. To know the simplicity of Christ and his work. To know that salvation is not what we feel about ourselves, but what we say about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a world of difference between knowing about God and knowing God personally. Jacob knew much about God. No doubt he saw Abraham and Isaac had taught him well, and he'd seen and heard so much about those extraordinary promises. But he had two meetings with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he met God and he met himself in ways that he had no knowledge of beforehand. You'll get to see, Nathaniel, what holiness is like, what true holiness looks like. The one true holy man who walked on this earth, you'll get to walk alongside him and you'll see what holiness really is. You'll see what faithfulness really looks like. You'll see what obedience to the very laws of God in every tiny jot and tittle looks like. You'll see the great thing of seeing what perfect obedience and perfect love to God looks like, Nathaniel. And you'll see what perfect love to human beings looks like. You're impressed, Nathaniel. You're impressed with my omniscience and you're impressed with my omnipresence. But the greater things are going to be revealed to you, Nathaniel. I want to see the greater things. I want to see how this holy God will forgive sin. I want to see how the just and holy God can justify the ungodly. I want to see the great thing of him fulfilling every single picture and type of the Old Testament, such that when the Lord Jesus' life was finished, every single prophecy and every single promise and every single picture was fulfilled, and they're all yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't have to look anywhere else or any further, you just look to him, Nathaniel. What a great thing to have him as our mediator. What a great thing to have him as that ladder that reaches down to us and takes us back to heaven. That ladder on which the angels of God, those ministering spirits, bring the blessings of God and take them back. He is the great ladder. Job asked that great question, how can a man be just with God? How can I be righteous before a holy God? How can me, who is nothing but sin and is sinning right now, be one who God declares is to have no guile and to have no sin before him? Nathaniel, you're going to see these things, and they're much greater than displays of omniscience and omnipresence. You're going to see, Nathaniel, what the angels and the prophets of God longed for, and you'll see it walking and talking and eating with you in the very presence of the people who will put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. You'll see all of that. You'll see these greater things. You will see, Nathaniel, you will see the greatest act of evil that has ever been perpetrated. And you will see, Nathaniel, that you have a part in it. And you will see, Nathaniel, the most extraordinary thing is that out of the darkest evil and the darkest time that this world has ever had, that darkness that covered the whole earth, that darkness which was the darkness of God that can be felt, that darkness in which that extraordinary transaction between God the Father and God the Son was being transacted on Calvary's tree, you will see how God brings good out of evil. You will see how God can make that the greatest thing, the greatest display of the character and the glory and the faithfulness of God that this world lives in. You'll see it, Nathaniel. You won't be there physically, but you'll see it through the eyes of faith. You'll see how God can take a sinner and make him to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. You'll see these things. These are the great things, aren't they? What are the greatest things that are happening in this world today? The greatest thing that's happening in this world today is the Lord Jesus Christ coming and revealing himself to a sinner and showing that sinner how he saved them. When I went to India, I knew very little, but the one thing I did know from my studies of the scripture, I said, if the Lord takes me to India and the result of us being in India is that one of his children is saved, then that saved child of his is of more value and significance than this whole visible universe. That's how God sees it, isn't it? Isn't that the case? It is more significant and more valuable than all of this visible universe. How God, what great things it is. Isn't salvation a great salvation? It's a great salvation because we're great sinners. And we're great sinners who have to meet a great and glorious God. You're going to see these things, Nathaniel. You'll see greater things than omniscience and omnipresent. You'll see God take a Saul of Tarsus and allow him and cause him to be the greatest enemy of the church. You'll see him take your brothers and sisters and put them to death and go away from their murder and proclaim the praises of God and think that he's doing God's work. And you'll see God take one of those men like that, a Saul of Tarsus, and you'll see him made willing in the day of his power. You'll have that one who is your greatest enemy turned into your dearest friend in the Lord. You'll see great things. You're going to see him make his people willing in the day of his power. You'll see, Nathaniel, greater things. You'll see people like yourself and Saul of Tarsus, prepared to lose absolutely everything in this world, including your life, and consider it an honour to be so loved of God that he has caused you and brought you to suffer for the sake of his name. You'll see great things, Nathaniel. You'll see those angels. You'll see what Jacob saw. You'll see those covenant promises of the God revealing himself to his people. You'll see that brought down from heaven and you'll see it taken back up to heaven. You'll see the Lord Jesus Christ ascending. You'll hear those angels. You'll be there when those angels come at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, what are you looking here for? What are you looking for? He's coming back again. And when he ascended on high, Nathaniel, he took you with him. He took every single one of his own with him. You lift up the praises over the gates. The Lord of hosts is coming in. He's not just a Lord on his own. He's the Lord of hosts. Whatever he does as an us. Whatever he does in covenant union with his people. He'll come, Nathaniel, as a result of all this, and he'll build a church You'll build a church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And it'll be weak and fragile and insignificant in this world and be the most secure and stable thing in all of this world. You'll see the promises that I prayed, the requests that I made at that Last Supper in that dark, dark night before you, Nathaniel's, you'll see them fulfilled in the most remarkable way. Greater things. What greater things will we see? You'll see union. You'll see his union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see heaven opened. You'll see heaven open, Nathaniel. You'll see God's servants, God's children, taken up into heaven by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see, Nathaniel, your life hidden with Christ in God. And you'll see God working all things together for your good. You will have that great question answered, Nathaniel, isn't it? How can God bless a Jacob who is so wicked and deceitful? You will see that God brings all of the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, and he'll bring them to us. Not because of our behaviour, not because of our obedience. He'll do it all, and he does it all for Christ's sake. You'll see the greater things. May the Lord give us hearts that come and see like Nathaniel and stir us to look for the greater things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would once again cause us to look beyond the circumstances and the events of this world and take us once again, Heavenly Father, into your courts, the courts of heaven, where we might see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world taking that scroll and unrolling that book of that eternal covenant, and find ourselves, Heavenly Father, rejoicing in the fact that you have come and revealed yourself to us, that we might say, you are the King of Israel. You are my Saviour. You are my God. And remarkably, you are my friend, and you are my husband, and you are my surety before our great and holy God. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that you might in mercy come to us again and again and reveal yourself through your word, that we might know you who is true and find ourselves delighted in the greater things of who the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified are. We pray your blessing upon us and your people wherever they meet, Heavenly Father, and bless those that couldn't be with us today. We pray that you be merciful and gracious to them. We pray these things in the name of your dear Son and for his glory, our Father. Amen.